We're going to start a series now talking about the resurrection. It's going to be called Resurrection Realities. You know, a lot of things happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's what we celebrated last week as we celebrated Easter Sunday and the idea of what it means for us to worship a risen Lord. And we're going to go into that a little bit. We're going to go into something that I feel very strongly in my heart about when it comes to who Jesus Christ really is and just how we ought to probably, in a way, interact with him and place him, I guess, on the throne of our heart in some way. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reality. It's true. It can be proven just through a lot of history, not to mention just the Bible. But the Bible says also that Jesus revealed himself to over 500 people after he rose from the dead, before he then ascended back up to heaven. So there's been a lot of different documentation about the fact of the resurrection. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it opened the door for us to step into some certain promises that had been previously promised to each and every one of us. So that just kind of turned the page, shall we say, for us as Christians, as we come to Christ, for some of the things that's been part of our benefit package. You guys know what a benefit package is, correct? Some of you have benefit packages when you go to work, and sometimes you choose maybe a certain job. You know, maybe it's not the greatest job, or maybe you're not making as much as something else, but the benefits are awesome. And really, you know, the benefits of becoming a Christian are so awesome, they're hard to explain sometimes. You can't really sometimes just explain them with words, but many times it's an experience of when you come to Christ. And so we're going to investigate some of these in the next few weeks and see how God speaks to us. Passage I want to look at and starting here today, we're going to go to a couple of scriptures, but this is the main one, is in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Rome. You know, that was a place that needed to hear the gospel. It was the center of where the authority structure of that time was established, you know, through the Neros or whatever you want to call them. I call them Zeros, but you know what I mean, the Neros that were there, and the word's not coming to me, but anyway, the people who were the head of it, and what they did, how evil they were, and how they persecuted the church. And so becoming a Christian, you know, in that city was very difficult. Very difficult, to say the least. And so Paul picks this up here, that he's stating who he is. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for holy unction to be here today. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring, Lord, in each of our hearts, that we want more of you. Lord, we thank you so much for what you did on our behalf. And Lord, we want to tap in to our full potential today. Lord, we don't want to live with less, but Lord, we just want more, more, more of you. Lord, I yield to the gift that you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first point I want us to see today is the fact that God keeps his promises. Have you ever had somebody promise you something and they just didn't come through, you know? And that's just frustrating, isn't it? Because you were really counting on that. You know, something you really thought you could take it to the bank, but then all of a sudden, they just didn't come through. Well, the good news is God always keeps his promises. Now, sometimes there's a timing issue, amen? You know what that's like. There's a little bit of waiting on our part, but that's okay. You know, we just hang in there and fight the good fight of faith. Now, God years previous, made a promise to King David. Many of you know who David was, and he was one of the kings of Israel. Matter of fact, God always, when he looked at David, he said, there's a man after my own heart. I mean, wouldn't you like God to say that about you? You know, when you finally maybe get to heaven and, well, there's a man or there's a woman that was after my own heart. Now, David made some mistakes. We know that. You know, David took another man's wife and then had the man murdered to cover up the crime. But still, there was something inside of David that God could see that he was somebody that God could use. And so God is not looking for perfection. God is just looking for somebody who loves God back with all their heart. And David expressed that through worship, one of the ways he did it. And I'm going off on a tangent, which was not this is not included today, but it's just something I want to throw out there, is the fact that, you know, worship opens the door for us to really receive more of the anointing of God, how we worship. You know, whether we are into it, shall we? Have you ever been into something and then not into something? You know what I'm saying? You know, hopefully you're into it today, you know, praise God. I mean, I don't want to resurrect the dead before I have to get started here today, you know. But, you know, when we worship God, you know, we don't think about who's around us. We just think about Him. And once you, it's just learning how to concentrate, learning how to focus, and not allowing our focus to be broken. And when we start to focus on Jesus and we start to get into it, then it seems like sometimes the windows of heaven open up and the presence of God just fills this place. And so we can participate in that. And that's just an awesome thing. But so God made that promise to David. And one of the promises God made to David is that his descendants would sit on his throne forever. Now, that's a good promise. How would you like your kids, God, to tell you, your kids are going to be just blessed forever? I mean, isn't that a concern of parents sometimes? You know, what's going to happen to my kids when I'm gone? How are they going to turn out? Are they going to remain true? You know, all these different things that come into play. And so how important it is that we understand, you know, the fact of just how God's blessings are. And this is a promise. Now, there was a break in the lineage. Not all King David's descendants were perfect, shall we say. You know, we had some bad kings along the way there. And that happened. See, I personally struggle with monarchy myself, just my own personal belief system. I just don't believe that because somebody's born into a certain family that should automatically make them the next king, because they could be dumber than a rock. You know what I'm saying? I struggle with that anyway, but that's just my own problem. But unfortunately, we're in a country that doesn't happen. We get to elect our leaders, and sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't, but that's just the way it is. But see, there was a break after King Zedekiah. He was the last king before they went into captivity. And what happened was the prophets prophesied due to Judah's rebellion against God and the fact that they were worshiping false idols and all these different things. Finally, it come to the point God had had enough and that he was going to send them to Babylon for 70 years. That was prophesied by Jeremiah. Okay, now to me, that doesn't sound like a thing, but that was that I'd want to do. But see, that was God's provision for them, that they went into captivity because they was going to learn a lesson. How many of you know sometimes it's worth it to learn a lesson? You know what I'm saying? It's just worth it to learn a lesson. And so they were going to Babylon to learn a lesson and come back to the promised land there. But what happened is King Zedekiah, he didn't want no piece of that. Matter of fact, he tried to sneak out. Well, they caught him. What would you do if a prophet, like I come and told you that, hey, you're going to need to quit your job for 3 months and distrust God, let alone 70 years. But I mean, just trust God and then everything's going to be okay. be tough, wouldn't it? Well, Zedekiah, he didn't really want to go into captivity. So what happened is he didn't trust God's promise, even though it didn't sound like a promise, a good promise, but it was a good promise. And when he ran, he got caught. And when they came back, they executed his family in front of his eyes, and then they gouged his eyes out. So the last thing that he could see was the fact of his rebellion against God and the death of his family. Tough, huh? That's rough. That's in the Bible, Old Testament. But then we know later on, the good news was that God brought the people back. They got their head on straight. They started thinking right again. And so this all happened 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came. 1,000 years roughly. And see, then came the promise. One of David's descendants. Well, Jesus in the flesh was born into the Davidic family, the tribe of Judah. That's why Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And so we can see that this promise was kept even though it took a long time. And see, what you and I need to understand is the fact that God keeps time with a calendar, and we prefer to use a clock with the second hand, don't we? We count the seconds. Sometimes God counts the years. But see, God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. And he just knows that everything and sees the big picture of what's going to happen. And so he sees that things are going to be fulfilled. Now, it didn't look like David's line was going to get there, but it did. And so sometimes the unfolding of God's plan in our lives takes time. And I'll be honest, I've been at this quite a few years. And I do know that things that I thought were going to happen did not go as fast as I thought they would. But now they're starting to happen. Now I'm starting to see some of the things that God, I felt, was telling me. And so it's important that we hang in there. And, you know, time, what I found out, is so important to us. Time is something that we think we don't have. Time is what we need to grow into our destiny. It just takes time to mature. It takes time for sometimes fruit to ripen. Now, in our day, they spray stuff or squirt stuff all over the produce to try to get it to ripen faster or ripen slower, all these things. But so that's just kind of, you know, man-made stuff. But, you know, we need to make sure that we stay in God's timing and to be able to walk with him, because that's when everything works out. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever asked God what he's waiting for? Only to find out he was waiting for me or you? God, what are you waiting on? Nothing. Then find out a little bit later, God was waiting for me to get into the place that I needed to be to be able to receive that revelation. It's just being patient, people. Being able to walk in the fruit of the Spirit to be able to be in the place God wants us to be. See, God has never made a promise that he could not keep. Never. And God was willing to sacrifice his own son in order to keep a promise. Just how much do you think he's going to do for you and me? He was willing to sacrifice his own son to keep a promise that he made way back in the Garden of Eden, long time ago. But he did that. That's how much he loves his creation, you and I, to be able to redeem us, to bring us back into relationship with him. God will move mountains. He'll do anything to get us to the place that we need to be. God has a plan for you. God has his hand on you. And we need to trust that it's a gentle hand and it's going to lead us to the place that we need to be. You may have never heard this in your life, but you are special. You are special to God. And God loves you so much that he'll do anything to get you to the place that we need to be. The problem with the promise is why we don't see him is sometimes you and I have a tendency to give up on the promise. Because it may be, like I said, it just different things. I'm going to go into a couple things. One of them, that reason why you and I give up on a promise, and this is not throwing stones, we all have this issue, lack of faith, right? We all have lack of faith. You know, if we had all the faith we needed, we'd been on TV by now, right? Right? Huh? I'd be a big TV preacher somewhere, you know? But no. We all have lack of faith. There's different areas of our life that maybe need reinforced, that maybe hasn't matured yet. Maybe there's areas of our life that we struggle with certain things, and due to, you know, to me, I believe that each of us are very similar, but some of us have different stories. You know what I'm saying? We were raised in different environmental issues. You know what I mean? Different environments that we were raised as a child. And I really strongly believe that some of those environments does have an impact upon our faith walk sometimes. But we can overcome those. That's not an excuse. Amen. You got to quit blaming your parents, you know what I'm saying? Or your grandparents. You got to move on. You got to get on with it. Because those things are easily overcome because we serve a life-changing God. But lack of faith, those things can cause us to not trust issues. Next reason why we give up on the promised is many times it's the test of time. Sometimes there's a time frame in between. You know, we just kind of don't like waiting. And we, as we go through the process, maybe we feel that God has led us to something, but then after a while, we don't see it. So then we start to give up. Was that really God? Or is that just me? You know, God has a lot of problems in the world. He's probably not going to help me. There's so many other people. But I got news, people. God can handle it all. Amen. He can handle it all. So we have a tendency to limit God. And to me, it all comes back down to we have to make a decision sometime in our walk with him is how big is our God? How big is our God? Is he just a little feller? Just can handle little headaches and stuff like that? Little small things? Or is our God a big God that can handle anything? And everything that's going on in our lives as we turn it over to him. So we need to get that settled. Then the last point I want to say is the fact that lack of follow through. Sometimes we just don't follow through. You know, one of the things that we learned as parents, what happens if you don't follow through with your word? The kids will learn that real quick, won't they? They'll know that if they wait mom and dad out a few hours, that mom and dad will give in and they won't follow through. And then they kind of, you know, things don't turn out the way they're supposed to. Well, see, sometimes we just have to follow through. If you know that you know that you know that God told you to do something, just keep doing that until he tells you something different. I've learned this through experience, people. This is the way to victory. The path to victory is follow through. Showing up even though you don't feel like it. Just being there. That's most of the battle. You know, I remember this, Lester Sumrall, some of you may recognize that name, but he was a big preacher, and yet he'd been a missionary and done a lot of great things, and I've shared this story before, but it's a really good one. But one time he was being interviewed, and he was getting way up in age, and you know, he was casting out many demons in the Philippines and just different things. He just had a dynamic ministry. And some young guy interviewed him and said, Dr. Sumrall, you know, what do you consider the key to your success of why you're here? And many of your other preachers that you started off with aren't around anymore. And he just said, the young guy thought he's going to tell him something profound about how many hours he prays or all these different things. And Summerall just said, I just didn't quit. They quit. So we just have to keep showing up. And you'll win. You'll win. And that's just part of the deal. So don't have lack of thought. Now, God kept his promise to Jesus, and he's going to keep it to us. So God promised that we will be with him forever. That's a promise we can count on as a Christian. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So that's what happens when you and I die, if you're a Christian. Now, if you're a non-Christian, do you guys want me to go into that part? Not me, I won't go into it. If you're a non-Christian, this won't happen to you. You, if you're a non-Christian, you won't get to go to be with Jesus. Now, I don't want to scare you because of hell, but just think how good and how awesome Jesus is. And you won't get no part of that. That ought to be enough to make you repent. Shouldn't be scared that you're going to die and go to hell. Should be scared that you're going to die and not get to go to be with Jesus, the author of life. Amen. Think about that. Think about the things that we will miss out on if we don't do it. But see, the Bible says when we pass away, when we take our last breath, we're going to be in the presence of God. That is awesome. Because that used to scare me when I was a kid. I didn't understand a lot of things because I didn't read the Bible. Reading the Bible helps a lot. I ain't going to lie to you. But I thought when you died, you had to go stay in the grave a long time. Just kind of linger. Yeah, that didn't sound like a really fun thing to me. I don't know. Just didn't sound like fun. But anyway, after I read this, I said, oh, wow, that's awesome. Okay, now, here's the point that really gets me excited. That the resurrection declared that Jesus is the Son of God. The power of the resurrection. See, the resurrection plainly declared to the whole world who Jesus really is. And Jesus is Lord. Now, that just shouldn't be just a catchphrase that we use. But I want you to really get this concept deep down inside of you. That when you say it, Jesus is Lord. Lord of all. There is none greater. Amen. And that's where he needs to be in my life and in your life. Yes. Jesus needs to be our Lord. And Jesus, as we know, had kept his identity somewhat under wraps. I remember now and then he'd give a little sneak peek, you know, who he really was. But like I said earlier, he was a lion of the tribe of Judah. He came through the line of Judah, and he came down, and it came down through all the way. And you can see his genealogies in the New Testament. And that, you know, why he came was that he was on a stealth mission to save mankind. Because he had to obey certain laws due to the covenant that God had with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Jesus then had to come as a man instead of God in order to redeem us. Because Adam gave, shall we say, that God had given, the title deed of the earth to Adam. Adam was supposed to be in charge to take care of it and to tend to it. But then when he fell, you know, he sort of lost the ownership, shall we say, to Satan, little s. I never capitalize his name. But just out of spite, you know what I'm saying? But I had just, you know, when he did that, Satan became the little g god of this world. And so Jesus had to come as a man, born of a woman like it promised in the Garden of Eden, and that then he came to redeem us. So he had to take off, shall we say, his god suit, and he had to put on his man suit for just a while. For like 33 years, roughly. And we're going to see that right now in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. It's a little longer passage, but I didn't want to cut any out of it so we get the full effect. Amen. How many like the full effect every now and then? Okay. So it says, have this attitude, in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, I just love the imagery of that passage right there. I mean, if you close your eyes, here's what I see. When I close my eyes and I think about this passage, I see Jesus Christ standing in the center up on a higher podium. And then I just see everybody all around him taking a knee. And he alone is in the middle standing as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. Amen. That's who we serve. He was worthy. Now, talks about first is to have this attitude. Does anybody have an attitude? Right? We all have attitudes, right? But this here is the attitude that you and I are supposed to have. And that attitude is humility. Yay. Right? Humility. How important humility is. Just think about this. I mean, we're all pretty special. I did say we're special earlier. But, you know, Jesus, he was God the Son for all creation. But then he chose to empty himself of that authority for a while. How many of us would like to do that? How many people who have a strong position of power would choose to let that power just go? And not only did he let it go, but then he chose to come down as a bondservant, the lowest of the low servants, to serve mankind. That's what he was, our example. And so when he emptied himself, he came down as man. And so it came to show us just how it works for us, because then Jesus got filled with the Holy Spirit and he was empowered with the Holy Spirit. And then he went and did ministry, just the same that you and I do. We, once we are born again and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit ministers to us. That's what God wants for each and every believer. He wants us to be empowered by the Spirit. He wants us to be able to walk in his ways. And so when Jesus became this bondservant, what I see is the master became the slave to show us the way. The way that you and I must go. And what I found out in life is only when we are secure in who we are can we serve in humility. Until we get over ourselves, we can never be a true servant, because we'll always have an agenda. We have to empty ourselves and just do it. Yes, you're going to be taken advantage of. Like I always say, God, you pray those prayers, oh God, use me, use me, use me. And then God uses me. Then after all, I say, God, quit using me. You know, people are taking advantage of me. I serve them and they just don't say thank you. Hey, who are we doing it for? Are we serving to glorify God? Or are we serving to get a little pat on the back and let everybody see how great we are? You know what I'm saying? These are all things that we have to work through. It's a process. And so God the Father highly exalted him to his rightful place. And when this happens, I don't know if I'll get to, because I may not have the right attitude when I say this, but I want a front row seat. I want to be up front when I see everybody bowing their knee around Jesus. I want to see that. That's awesome. Seeing every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't matter if you believe he's Lord now, you will. All those people who do not bow their knee to Jesus Christ that has maybe rejected his truth, they're going to bow. There's no way around it. That's just the way it is. So I always say, you can bow now or you can bow later, but you're going to bow. I encourage you to bow now. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the absolute supreme master of all. And as every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing. Because to me, Jesus not only deserves the right to be called Lord, but has also earned the right to be called Lord. That's the love. See, that's what really drives me to be a Christian and to be obedient to God the best I can. I know I make mistakes. But it's the fact that, and it escaped me for so many years, but the fact that how much Jesus loves me, I would never purposely or willingly want to do something that would ever hurt him. I do. I know that. But it's that love. It's not the fear of going to hell, but it's the love of Jesus that compels me to want to serve him. And I hope you get to that place, because it's a safe place. Because we can never really serve out of fear. It'll never work. Because fear fades. But love endures forever. Love will be that driving force that pulls us through those hard times. And what I see is that through Jesus Christ being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he was the greatest example we could ever see of what it means to be a servant leader. No longer do leaders should be served in a sense, but you know we need to have servant leaders that are servants. Excuse me. And to me, what I see is true exaltation only manifests when genuine humility is expressed. Okay, how this works. True exaltation. You know, whenever we are promoted in the kingdom of God, or whenever we are promoted in different things, the way that we stay there, the way that is when God exalts us. If we exalt ourselves, we're going to be brought down. But when God exalts us, we will stay. But the way that happens is only first if we express true humility operating in our life. It's got to be genuine humility. Where when we're doing a job, we don't care who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. Amen? I mean, this is good stuff right here. This will get us to the other side. This is going to open doors in your life, you know, for promotion and to prosper. This is how it works in the kingdom. It's totally different than the world system. The world system, you use people to climb on. But here, God tells us to lift, as we lift people up and bless them, God will in turn bless us and exalt us. So it's a new way of learning. Now I got one more little point here I want to cover before we close. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Talked about the Spirit of Holiness earlier. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit working today. That's what we have. Thank God we're not alone down here. You know, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, it's the Spirit of Holiness is working on the earth today. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ released the power of the Spirit working in the church today. When he died, it opened the door for the next chapter. How many know you got to get through a chapter before you get to the next chapter? Well, Jesus' chapter was finished when he, down here is when he rose from the dead, and then that released the power of the Holy Spirit. We know, remember the temple, the veil was torn, 2-inch thick cloth, just ripped open, and the glory of God was released. And it's that glory of God that lives inside each and every one of us. Amen. It's for today. It's for you and me. So once Jesus broke the curse, you and I can walk in freedom every day. We can walk in that. The freedom that he came to give us. And, you know, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm talking about that freedom. Now, here's one of the issues. I'm going to pick a little bit on the church, amen, because I'm a Christian. I'm part of the church. I mean, if I wasn't, I shouldn't pick on something I'm not a part of, but I can. Depends on part of it, I think. Is that the church has lost the art of practicing holiness. You know, things have changed. Some for good, but some things aren't for good. See, saints of old knew the practice of holiness and what it meant to be whole, walk in holiness. And holiness means you just got to kind of have a little bit of discipline. And so we've lost this today. Sometimes we've reduced Jesus just to being our big buddy in the sky. You know what I mean? We just think that, yeah, he's this, oh, he just, you know, and it's a fine line. I'm going to get to that point, so I don't want to mislead us. You know, it's not about works. I'm not saying that. But I do know, I do thrive on what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I labor more than all. See, it's by God's grace that we labor. Yes. But it's not by the fact that we use grace as an excuse. And, you know, to me, just because Jesus called us to rule and reign with him does not mean that we're equal to him. We are not equal to Jesus. He is the Lord of Lords. And what I see is Christians today play the grace card frequently in order to make excuses for their behavior instead of letting true transformation take place. See, it's about true transformation. Letting the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, to work us. It's a process. I'm not going to lie to you. You don't get there the first day. But I will say this. We should be growing. It's our responsibility to grow. And it all comes by desire. God, I desire to grow. I desire to grow in you. I want to be more mature. I want to be, I want to be one of your go-to people. You know, I want to be ready, whatever you've called me to do. And so, to me, grace and holiness must be lived out in perfection, in perfect balance, in order to receive true transformation. So you got to have grace and holiness. And here's how that works. Too much grace, you get into carnality. Too much holiness, you get into works righteousness. So that's why we need to walk that fine line. And it's doable. See, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us because a letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we need that. And in, as we wrap this up here today about resurrection reality, so holiness is an important part, but the main thrust I want us to see today, and I want us to really answer this question in our hearts and in our lives, is the statement, Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord of all? Because if not Lord of all, he's Lord of nothing. He needs to be Lord in our life. And that's a decision. You're going to grow and to see the manifestation of it in your life, but it's got to be a decision that we answer. Did we become a Christian just not to have to go to hell? Or do we become a Christian because we want to serve the risen Savior? Amen? Amen. I'm all for not going to hell, believe me. I'm not saying that, but I'm for it. Because that's a bad place. The devil had his way, he'd be telling us to follow AC/DC, right? Highway to hell. But we're, no. But I want us to change our dynamic of how we look at things. We serve God because we love. Also the fact that we want to bow our knee, bow our heart, bow our lives to the one supreme master of our universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.